Welcome to the Center for Christian Leadership broadcast. Together we'll explore the crossroads of leadership and Christian living. I'm Dr. Stephen Smith, your host and fellow journeyer on this path that we're on to pursue a purposeful life. In each episode, we'll embark on a transformational journey that discusses the timeless principles of leadership that are grounded and firmly established in the wisdom of God's Word. So whether you're a seasoned leader seeking inspiration or someone navigating the challenges of everyday life, this broadcast will act as a compass for navigating the intricate dance between leadership excellence and a life that models the greatest leader, Jesus Christ. Join me and our guests as we unpack profound insights, share inspiring stories, and embark on a quest to lead with purpose in every aspect of our lives. This is more than a broadcast, it's a community committed to elevating Christian leadership while embracing the transformational power of the principles God has established. So let's dive in together and discover the extraordinary potential that emerges when Christian leadership and Christian living converge.
Hi, and welcome back. My name is Stephen Smith, and I believe that I have a word from God for you today, and that word is strategic. That's right. That's what we did the other day, and what we want to do is we want to continue on this seven-step process of developing the things that we want to accomplish. So what we want to do is we want to identify what it is that we want to do, and we want to identify how it is that we're going to get there, but I also have to know where I'm at, and that's what we did yesterday. So what we want to do today is we want to identify and eliminate negative thoughts that are keeping us from accomplishing these purposes that we know that God wants us to do. So I already know where I'm going. I already know where I'm at. Now I've got to get rid of the negative thoughts and start focusing in what it is that God wants me to accomplish. You know, Proverbs 16:3 tells us, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. So if I'm committed to what it is that God has for me, I know my plans are going to succeed. My plans are going to be that much better if I can identify and eliminate these negative thoughts that are there in our lives. So what we're doing is we're taking a look at the way that Nehemiah went back and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and also rebuilt the gates. So if we go through and follow the process that he followed, and if we take this seven-step plan, then we know that, you know what? If you've got something that you want to accomplish, if there's some task or if there's some goal that you have that you want to fulfill, if you want to change the way that you're living your life, why don't we do this? Why don't we follow along with this process and see if we can't do this? What we want to do then is we want to make sure that God is a definite part of this program and a part of this plan. Nehemiah 1:5 says this, "Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer." So what Nehemiah was doing was that he's focusing on the power of God rather than his own attributes, rather than on his own skills or anything like that. And we should all be willing to do that. He also recognized that he was focusing on what it was that he wanted to accomplish. He knew exactly what it was, and he also knew that God was a covenant-making God, and that if God had made a covenant with them, then he knew that he could accomplish that. We want to identify these attributes of God that we know are a part of what minimize our problems and magnify his power. Once we do that, then we know that we can take what God has given to us and we can start taking those things and working towards the things that we know are going to change our lives or that we're going to accomplish as we go forward with this plan of ours. So we also want to know that Nehemiah identified God as a covenant-making God. And he said, okay, here's the covenant that you made with us. And he quotes this covenant. It's found in Nehemiah 1:9. He says, but if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I've chosen by my name to be honored. So what happened was is that Nehemiah is saying, okay, God's got a covenant. He said that if we do these things, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He's going to follow along with the covenants that God had made with him. You know, God's made some covenants with us as well, that if we accept his son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, that we would be saved. Not only that, but that we would have a relationship with him, not only in heaven, but here on this earth. That's a pretty good covenant. And if God is a covenant God, then can't we take these covenants and start moving on those as well? We want to identify these things because what's happening is that God is becoming more and more powerful in our lives and it's becoming less and less about us. So how do you want to accomplish the things that you want to do? How have you laid these plans out before God? We want to make sure that we do that. We want to also make sure that if there's a covenant that God has given to us and that he's promised, let me see, never to leave me, never to forsake me, that he would be with me all the time, that his spirit would give me the wisdom that I need to accomplish certain things, that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All these Bible verses all point to one thing, that God's on our side, that he wants to help us succeed. Now, he may not give us a specific plan that we're supposed to be doing, but he wants you to take the gifts and the tools that he's given to you, and he wants you to go out and he wants you to do something special with them. And the only way that I can do that is, again, to get rid of all these negative emotions and negative things, negative thoughts, all these things that are going to try and hold me back. So we can see this as an example in Jeremiah 15:19. If we look at Jeremiah 15:19, the history is this, that Jeremiah had made this prophecy, and none of the people of Israel actually liked the prophecy because it wasn't a good prophecy. And he got beaten, he got thrown into wells, he got hurt, he got nailed, he got all these different things that happened to him. And what happened was that Jeremiah's asking God, hey, how come all of this? You said that you were going to be with me, that you were going to be a part of me. Have you ever felt that way? So this is how God responded to Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah 15:19. If you return to me, I'll restore you so that you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than those worthless ones that you were using, you will be my spokesman. You must influence others. You are not to be influenced by them. Again, we see here that God's promising that if Jeremiah returns to him, that God will restore him. That's covenant. God's got a promise with you as well. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're saying these right things. So I got to stop saying negative things. I got to stop saying things like, oh, I'm just not smart enough. Oh, I'm just not good enough. Gee, is this what God really wants me to do? Is this God's will for me? Where's God in all of this? So once we get rid of all those negative things and what we want to see happen, and we start focusing on what it is that God told us and having the faith to believe that he's there with us, we know that we can succeed, but we got to start speaking these good words that he wants us to do. So what is it that you're saying? What would happen if you changed the way that you believed and the way that you spoke? Would it make a difference in your life? Would you start seeing a difference in the things that you're supposed to be doing? So getting back to Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 2:2, we can see that the king starts asking, hey, what's going on, Nehemiah? You're not looking so hot. Now, we know that Nehemiah wasn't feeling well and he wasn't acting, and we don't need to act in front of other people, but we also don't need to hide our emotions to the point where people don't understand that we've got a plan, we've got a purpose, and we want to do that to us. Let's see what the king said. He said, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified, but I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors were buried lies in ruins and the gates have been destroyed by fire. So we don't need to hide our emotions. We know that sincerity can be important in everything that we do. And in fact, we want to be honest, especially with the people who we're working for. And when we do that, then we can see that we suddenly start getting bold enough to be able to start going forward and not worrying about getting fired. And in this case, not worried about getting executed or, you know, shot with an arrow or something like that. What we can do is we can start moving forward with the promises that God has for us so that we know that we can succeed. So what we want to do is we want to ask ourselves, how do you feel, but how should you feel? What are those emotions? What are those negative emotions that are out there? If you've got negative emotions that are there, you got to get rid of those. And you know what? A negative emotion can be set aside just as easily as thinking different types of thoughts. And we know that we can do that because God has given us a mind that enables us to be able to control our emotions. Our emotions are going to be right here, but if I can change from negative emotions to positive emotions here in my heart, I'm going to make all the difference that I need. So how can you change your state of mind? How can you do that? A great way to start is to take a look at all these different processes, but I can make proclamations. Every morning I get up and I say, this is the greatest day in my life. I can't wait to see what God is going to do with it. You know, that's a great way to start. I also say, look, I'm getting younger and younger. These are all things that I tell myself every single morning, and you know what? I've convinced myself of them. So as I move forward, I know that God's on my side. I know that this is going to be a great day. Regardless of what happens, I know that I can take this day and I can make it that much better. So I'm getting rid of those negative emotions, and you can do that too. So we know later on in Nehemiah, and it's a famous verse, he says, don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if I'm not dejected, if I'm not sad, I can turn my focus onto God and say, look, his joy is my strength. And if I know that that's true, then I know that I can understand this simple fact, that if I'm focusing on the Lord, he will give me the strength that I need. And the joy of the Lord in his celebration of the things that I'm doing are actually going to revive me as well. So how can you use God's joy that you receive from him to change your state of mind? How can you get rid of these negative emotions? Well, maybe some of the ways that we can do this is to say, wait a second, God's pleased with me. God's happy that I'm working in this positive venture. He knows that I'm moving forward. He knows that I'm not falling back. He knows that I'm not quitting, and I won't quit. And if God knows all those things, then how can he not be pleased with your progress? And if God's pleased with your progress, shouldn't you be too? That'll change your state of mind immediately, won't it? So we want to make sure that we understand what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And I can set all my emotions aside. And in fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:17, he says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Get the focus off of you and get it onto him. The moment that you do that, all of a sudden it no longer becomes about, well, what is it? What's in it for me? How can I do this so that I will succeed? You know what? I want to make sure that everything that I do benefits me. The problem with that is that everything that you do should not be benefiting you. It should be benefiting the kingdom. It should be for others. That's why God put you here, is to be able to serve, and we want to do that clearly. So how can we do that? Well, we want to ask ourselves, what would God want here? What did God tell me? What does God also expect of me the next time that you're faced with a decision? So if you have this decision and you're asking yourself these questions, if you're putting yourself in the place of, now wait a second, what did God tell me? Where am I going to go with this? How am I going to do these things? Then you know that you're suddenly coming into alignment with what it is that God wants you to accomplish. So the most valuable thing that we can do is change the way that we think. And Paul told us in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect. So if I can do that, then I know that I'm going to be able to succeed because I'm allowing God to change the way that I think. If I'm changing the way that I think by allowing God to do that, now all of a sudden he's going to transform me into the new person that I know that I can become, and I'm going to be fulfilling what it is that God intends for me, or in this case, his will, right? So what's the benefit of allowing God to change a heart when you want to know his will for something? So what we can do is we can simply ask God, hey, how do you want me to feel in this situation? Lord, what is the process in getting to the things that you've created me for? I mean, we start looking for his will, we start pursuing God, then all of a sudden things are going to change dramatically. Look at how well it worked for David. Well, in most cases anyway. So we know that we have a process that we can go forward to. We want to make sure that we take our eyes off of the past and we want to look forward to what it is that we want to accomplish. If God has changed the way that we think, and if we're a new creation, can't we focus on the things that are ahead of us? Now, I don't want to forget the past. I want to look for the good things in the past and want to learn from those things that were there, but I also want to look forward. Philippians 3:13 gives us a good picture of what we should be doing as Christians. And it says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of that race. What this verse tells us is that I can look forward to these things that are happening. And in fact, I'm not going to look back on the old Stephen. I'm not going to look back on the things that I used to think about. I've gotten rid of all those negative emotions. But I can look in the past and I can say, wait a second, these are some of the good things that happened. Even though a negative thing happened to me, I can remember it for the good things that did happen, that maybe I grew out of it. Maybe there's a process that I learned not to do in the future. These are all good things for us to remember, but I am going to still look forward to what it is that God has in store for me, because if he's put a new creation in me, if he's given me new thoughts, if he's changed the way that I'm thinking, now I'm thinking positively. Now I'm thinking forward to the things that God has in store for me, and it's going to change the way that I look. So what things in your past have you been holding on to? How have you been holding on to your past and not moving forward in the future and what God wants you to do? Get rid of those negative thoughts. Get rid of those negative things. Sometimes it helps to just say, I choose to forget that statement. I choose to forget what happened to me on that day. Sometimes we can put those things all the way behind us and they're no longer a problem for us. So we have to remember that there are others that have gone on before us, people that have done this before. There are people that have worked hard to accomplish what it is that we wanted to accomplish as well. We can look forward to seeing their successes. And in fact, if they've gone on and they're in glory with the Lord, then maybe we can understand that they're even witnessing what we're doing and they're encouraging us. So we know that Hebrews 12:1 tells us this, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. If God has set a race before you, What are you dragging along that you don't really need to drag along with you? Have you ever tried to run like a 440 or an 880 carrying a 25-pound weight? That's a pain in the neck, especially if you have it wrapped around your neck. What you want to do is you want to get rid of all these things that hold you back. How about all those negative emotions? How about all those negative thoughts? How about all those negative things that other people have said about you that don't really apply in this position? Get rid of all those things and start focusing what it is that God wants you to accomplish. So how can you throw off these things that are holding you back? How can you cut them off? How can you throw off these negative thoughts or these negative emotions? Well, we've already talked about it. We can have positive affirmations in the morning. And in fact, I write my affirmations down. I can have positive affirmations at night. And in fact, I write those down as well. And what has happened is that it's enabled me to be able to start changing the way that I look at things and the way that I do things. Make sure that you look up that video on these positive affirmations. It'll change the way that you do things, I promise you. So we know that we also have the answer to this as well. Fortunately, the Bible will answer questions for us, and I know that if I'm trying to keep my eyes focused on what I'm doing, we know that we have this promise in Hebrews 12:2, and it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So what we want to do is we want to stay focused on what Christ has done for us, allowing us to be able to follow along in his process. If I allow Jesus to lead in this process, then I'm doing this with Christ, and I'm doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does that sound familiar? We know that we can follow this process, and we want to ask ourselves, what is the one attribute of Jesus that would help you change the way that you're thinking right now, and how would that change your processes and what you're trying to accomplish? Try and study the attributes of Jesus. Try reading through the Gospels and writing down everything that Jesus had done and the way that he did them. Once you start doing that, you're going to start saying, wow, he loved. Wow, he encouraged. Wow, he touched people's hearts. Wow, he taught. Look at all the ways that Jesus did these things. The moment that you do that, then you're going to be able to start imitating what it is that he did. And once you identify those individual attributes, you can start applying those attributes to your own life. You know why? Because you have Christ in you, right? So what I'd like to do is present you with a four-step exercise that can help you get rid of all these negative thoughts and all these negative emotions. Remember, our key verse here is Colossians 1:10, and it says, then the way that you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you'll grow as you learn to know God better and better. That verse tells us that I can get rid of all these things, and I'm going to start living this Christian life that he promised for me. I can make these changes. I can start moving forward in this planning process and really make a difference in the lives of those around me and even in my own life, right? So here are four steps that we can do to do that. The first thing is we want to write down where we are in our thinking and where we want to go. Does that sound familiar? It's the exact same thing that we did yesterday, where we said, hey, I'm here and I want to get here. What's the process between those two spots? I want to make sure that I understand where I'm at in my thinking, and I want to understand where I want to go in my thinking. So if it's a positive thinking behavior that you want to identify, write that down. Identify where that is and write down where you're at right now. Once you've identified those two things, this is going to be really easy for you. The next thing that we want to do is we want to list the behaviors that you will need to make this change. So if you want to be more positive, what positive behaviors are you going to start thinking? Maybe I need to start thinking better about the way that I think about myself. Maybe I need to start, you know, encouraging myself daily by reading the Word or by taking what it is that God has given to me and using that as a tool to accomplish what I'm trying to do and change the way that I think. The third thing that I want to do is I want to list the value of each of these behaviors in order. So if I identify these behaviors that I want to do, I want to identify which ones are the strongest, and I want to start using those, because you'll come up with several of them. But once you've identified the strongest behaviors in this, then you're going to be able to start using those behaviors in the order of their value and their importance to you. You know, for some people, it's really positive for them to have positive affirmations. For other people, it may be a positive thing to just start looking forward towards the end goal and realizing that you can do it. The fourth thing that we want to do is we want to work on each one of these one at a time until they become a habit in our daily lives. And once they become a habit, in other words, I'm not thinking about doing it, I'm actually just doing it every single day, then what's going to happen is that I can move on to the next positive step in that positive affirmation or whatever it is. But once you're doing it normally in your life, then you're going to make you're going to be able to make that change. You're going to be able to start doing these things that we know that we can accomplish. You know, once we identify that we want to make the change, there's nothing that can stop us. We can get this positive mindset. I can change the way that I think. I know that God is on my side. I've presented all of these things to him. I've laid this plan out before him. And just like Nehemiah, we can succeed where others have failed. In fact, just like Nehemiah, he rebuilt a wall in 52 days. That's right. It only took him 52 days. How long is it going to take you to change your life? I want to thank you for joining us today, whether it's on Facebook or YouTube, or if you're watching us online, any one of the social media outlets. I really do encourage you that today we believed that we've gazed through the lens of our Christian faith, discovering a special word from God that's met your special needs. As we reflect on these principles today, let's remember that our ultimate example is Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve others. May his selfless love and sacrificial leadership inspire and guide us in our own leadership journeys. We want to encourage you and make sure that you're subscribing to these videos. Also, don't forget to share them. Hit the notification bell. If you're watching this on any one of the social media outlets, I encourage you, pass this on to others so that they can find inspiration as well through their path towards their servant leadership roles as well. Let's build this community of leaders dedicated to following in the footsteps of our servant-hearted Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, I wanted to thank you for being a part of this broadcast. Until our next episode, I encourage you to go forth in the spirit of servant leadership, guided by the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessings to you on your journey and in every step that you take.